made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to BIB Radio. Yes, we are on the air again. So happy to be with you, January 12th, 2017. I have my co-host on the line, I do believe. Are you there, Robert? Uh-oh. Robert is muted. Let me unmute him. Okay.
Me now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. You were muted. That was my bad. Sorry. Anyway, how are you doing?
Wonderful. I'm feeling very, 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 very good today, even though it's cold and we're about to have an ice storm here in St. Louis.
But, yep. We did see something like that about to happen, an ice storm. Ugh.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy, but, I mean, every day is a good day above the grave.
That's right. And if you're prepared, then you don't have to fret or worry. Right. They say, if you're ready, you don't have to get ready. So, you know, we must always be ready for these things, because inclement weather, whether it be winter or summertime, there's always the chance that, you know, the weather can act up on us. So, it's a good thing to just be prepared. We talked about that before. Let's see here. Can you hear me okay? I'm trying to make sure.
I hear you great. Your audio is really, really good.
Oh, that's good then. Okay. Because I'm trying to just make sure everything's good. I guess I just can't believe that everything came through fine this time. So what is going on in the world of entrepreneurship concerning you? Let's update our listeners on what it is that you have going on.
Well, we are actually growing in the marketplace here in St. Louis, Grand Slam Indoor Marketplace. We're actually growing. The business is growing. We're doing exceptionally well. Getting prepared for this is trade show season right now, and that's where my head is at. So you and I, getting prepared for these upcoming trade shows in Las Vegas, the ASD. Actually, we're going to one this weekend, well, this week coming up in Chicago, and that is the unique show in Chicago. We'll be there. I think it starts Tuesday, and then from there, we'll be planning to be in Las Vegas for the Magic Show, the Magic Clothing Show. For our listeners who are not familiar with this, if you're in the fashion industry, the Magic Clothing Show is the world's largest trade show for the fashion industry. then also we plan to attend the ASD show, which is one of the world's largest shows for general merchandise, that they have merchandise shipped in, or manufacturers from all over the world are going to be meeting at in Las Vegas to display their new merchandise. If you watch Shark Tank, mostly everybody that's on Shark Tank usually winds up at the ASD trade show. So we're going to look to go to that. There is a tool show that I really want to make an appearance at, and I got to look that information up, but that's something. But we know for sure we're going to be at the Magic Show, the ASD show, and the Off-Price show. These are shows for entrepreneurs that they just, you really got to attend these shows. So we just missed the CES show, the Consumer Electronics Show. That's a show that, again, for our producer, our CEO of Black Talk Radio, that's a show definitely that if you can make it there, Scotty, you need to be there. I talked to my friend in Las Vegas. He went to the show, and he told me it just really blew him away. It was his first time ever going, and he's a dentist. And he went there, and he said, Rob, you got to stay up on technology. You know, they were talking about a mouthpiece that they have for the sports world that actually sends data back to the, I guess, the doctors or whatever about the players. So this technology thing, this is something that definitely, if you into computers or whatever, you need to go to the CES show. So other than that, that's about what's on our agenda business-wise, you know. And I'm just looking forward to actually taking these trips, getting away from St. Louis, and seeing what's new coming out for the next, you know, 6 months, and then go back again.
Absolutely. That sounds like, you know, people really need to... Uh-oh. Can you hear me now?
You're good.
Okay. sorry. It sounds like something people really need to continue to investigate, you know, trade shows. If people are still at odds about trade shows, they should listen to our previous programs so they can really get familiar with what a trade show is and go through that experience with you in the podcast. But Scotty has a question for you, Robert. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Robert, you said that's the CSE, Cat Sam Echo?
Cat Echo Sam.
Oh, Cat Echo Sam. Okay. All right. CES, a trade show. Right now, I don't need to go, but I do need to know if anybody is going, if they just see if they offer any kind of like 4-channel or 8-channel mixers, any suppliers for that. I don't want to get retail, but I mean, I don't need to go this year because it's not in the plan to need those right now, but it would be nice to identify suppliers for that. But that following year, if everything go to plan in 2017, then yeah, I'll be in a position to purchase mixers in quantity.
Let me share this with you. You can go to Facebook. I'm pretty sure the CES has a Facebook page, and you can go to Facebook and see if the CES show has a app that you can download to your phone, which it should. And if it doesn't have it on the Facebook page, just Google CES show and go to their home website and log in or register, and they may have information, or you may be able to search the site for information for the app that you can put on your phone. And if they have it, which I'm pretty sure they do, when you get that, then you can search that, go to the app product or by vendor name, and it'll give you all the vendors that sell that particular product.
Okay, thank you. They're just simple four-channel audio mixers. It's not a very complicated product to even manufacture. But I'll take your suggestions and check out their website, see if I can glean it for information and might see a company. I know a company, but you can't contact them over the web. You can go to their website, like all of these retail websites that's selling this particular mixer that's pretty popular.
Right.
When you go to the manufacturer's website, it's no contact information at all. It's just information about the mixer. And so these other retailers, I guess, have a special license to sell that mixer. I want to get that mixer at wholesale.
Well, let me give you this. This is a question that you should ask. If you email them, ask them, were they in attendance at the CES show? And they will probably correspond back to you more than likely. And if they answer yes, then you just tell them you need their phone number.
It's no contact information. It's nothing. It's no email address. It's no nothing. All it is pictures and information about the specs of the mixer. No contact information. It'll tell you what retailers sell it. That's it. No contact information. So they probably would have to go through them. I imagine, they had to be going to this trade show.
Yeah, so even with the retailer, You can probably go through them. No, there's got to be a wholesaler. It's got to be a wholesaler of the product, because retailers deal with either manufacturers or wholesalers. So there's somebody wholesaling that product. You just got to get to. You don't want to deal with a retailer. You want to deal directly with the manufacturer, preferably. And I can't even make myself say if you can't deal with the manufacturer. The only time you can't deal with the manufacturer is when they say, well, you have to buy by the truckload. And those, what you're talking about, I don't think that they're going to make you buy anything like that by the truckload. So there's a strong possibility that you can get directly with the manufacturer. And I tell you what, Scotty, I'll help you once, if we can connect off air, I'll definitely help you do a little homework on that myself and see what we can come up with. If we can get a brand name, then that's a great start. Because, again, with that CS app, you can put in the brand name.
I'm using the mixer right now. I'm using the mixer right now.
Who's the maker of the mixer?
Elise. It's A-L-E-S-I-S. Elise. Multimix 4. Now, they don't make these no more because they come out with Multimix 8, and it's upgraded. So they probably don't manufacture these, but still, though, even the new one they got, I want to get wholesale. You know what I'm saying? Because I can sell
right.
them in a package. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to buy them retail and then overcharge people on a retail price or something. No, I got to get these wholesale. You know, I'm looking at maybe 25, 50 units at a time. You think they would do something that low? Or do I need to go higher?
Definitely. These shows are very small business friendly, because they know the trend right now in America and really throughout the whole world is entrepreneurship. This is the fastest growing sector of business all over the world. So these companies know that small businesses can't buy large quantities. So when you go to these shows, there are certain areas in the show that if you're buying container loads, then they'll be in a certain area. But for what you're talking about, I'm almost 100% guaranteed that we can get those quantities with no problem. I'm actually on my phone, looking at CES show, and I'm gonna see if I can pull up an app for the CES show. As a matter of fact, let me go to my app store just to see if it comes up. So I'm in the app store right now, and we're gonna type in capital letters CES. Yep, they got an app, CES 2017. Type that in. Oh boy, this is good. See,
okay. So let's try to get back with this topic more toward the end of the show, okay, so that we can get going. I mean, we could talk about trade shows all day and all night because there's so much information. But, I mean, especially with them coming up now, Robert, we have to make sure that you post the upcoming trade shows in BIB Radio so that people know. And again, listeners, if you're out there listening and you don't know what a trade show is, please go in the archives of blacktalkradionetwork.com under BIB, Blacks in Business, and you can listen to the old shows concerning trade shows. So let's get back on topic right now. And today's topic is, let's see, where do I have today's topic at? Today we're dealing with wealth. Many of us want wealth. We would like to have wealth. I mean, we try to get wealth. We enter all these little multi-level marketing scams and schemes. I'm not calling all of them scams and schemes, but unfortunately the ones I've been part of have been scams and schemes. And as Black people who have been set back for so many generations into poverty because others have stolen from us and just totally, totally gotten a head start, we are desperately trying to seek wealth. And this is not, you know, this is not a sin. You know, people like to use that scripture from the Bible that says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But people like to say, it says, money is the root of all evil. And it doesn't. It says for the love of money. You know, we use money for what we need to use it for. Nobody wants to be in poverty, but we have been stuck in a certain cycle. We have not been able to do any sort of group economics to get things together. As we look around the United States in a lot of the country, especially like where we are right now in St. Louis, Missouri, some very impoverished areas, lots of old buildings, and the state of our people, you know, because of poverty. That is what it all stems from, is poverty. So what I wanted to do today was, well, let me read our flyer. It says, join us for BIB Radio. Okay. Join us for BIB Radio, where Robert Levinex Minor and Cece Harry will discuss wealth and the avenues to get there, and Black people who have made it. Our focus of discussion will be a video by Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough is a speaker that lots of people respect concerning wealth, kind of like Dr. Claude Anderson. I think more people probably know Dr. Claude Anderson if I say it. But Dr. Kimbrough is somebody that I'm familiarizing myself with. Although a lot of people do know him, especially in the circles that I've traveled in, I have never met him. He may have been somewhere that I've been, but I don't really know him like that. So I ran across his video today, or one of his videos today, and I wanted to play it for you all because I think it's very important that we just get a different mindset about what wealth is and how to amass it. Whether it be on an individual level or collectively, you know. And as I listened to some of his other videos, I mean, I just was really inspired because as we think about all of the things that have oppressed us and taken us off of our wealth game, on the other side of that is the possibility that we can get it back. And we can get it back because we know that there's information out there saying that Black people spend how much? $2.something trillion. And we are who and what makes the world go round. So if we can get it together, just start having a different idea about what wealth is and how to gain wealth, then I think we can get somewhere. So without further ado, let's listen to Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Again, he's an author too. He's got some books. He's got Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, What Keeps Me Standing, Wealth Choice, Daily Motivations for African American Success, and What Makes the Great Great. So let's listen to Dr. Dennis Kimbrough right now. Get out a piece of paper and a pen so that you can take notes and we can discuss this stuff. If you want to call in, of course, you can definitely do so. I'll give you the number when we get back, but we need to get the video started. So, Scotty, go ahead, please, and play the YouTube.
I got my PhD degree from Northwestern University, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I certainly knew what I didn't want to do. Many of my classmates couldn't wait to go to Wall Street. They were going to make a killing in the stock market. I'm not knocking that. I didn't want to go into corporate America, nor did I want to teach. All I wanted to do, I wanted to find the answers to two questions.
We are waiting for the YouTube.
Question number one, why does one individual succeed while another fails? And question number two, why is one individual rich and wealthy while another is impoverished? So I carved out a list of 50 individuals, black men and women, who not only carved their name on the tablet of success, they climbed the back stairs to success. They didn't know me, but I certainly knew them, and I was going to interview them, trying to ascertain the answer to those two questions. Well, lo and behold, that list of 50 grew from 50 to 100, from 100 to 150. I quit counting at 150 interviews. Based upon my research, Success Magazine asked me to write an article, and I complied. Well, that particular article found the desk of W. Clement Stone. I just flew back from New York. I had interviewed Earl Graves, the publisher of Black Enterprise magazine. And when I got to my Atlanta home, there was a message on my answering machine. It was from W. Clement Stone. He said, young man, we heard about you. When can you come to Chicago? I would like to meet you. Well, 2 weeks later, me and my wife, we fly to Chicago, and we went to W. Clement Stone's office. There in his palatial offices, Mr. Stone, seated behind a mahogany desk, smoking one of his Havana cigars with a bright flowered polka dot bow tie on. And he said to me, he said, young man, you're not the first person to go around this country interviewing successful African Americans. And I said, I'm not? And he says, no. He says, you know, Napoleon Hill was doing this at the time of his death. I said, are you serious? He says, more than serious. He reached across his credenza, pulled out the last 100 written pages of Napoleon Hill and dropped it in my lap. At the time of his death, Napoleon Hill was attempting to write a black version of his all-time classic, Think and Grow Rich. He got 100 pages into the manuscript before dying of a stroke. He was 87 years old. And W. Clement Stone held on to those 100 pages for 16 years. Until November 3rd, 1986, when I walked into his office. And I'm here to tell you that over a seven-year period, I like to tell people that I discovered the DNA to black wealth. Wealth is not a function of circumstance. It is not a function of condition. It is not a function of race, of gender, who your parents are, which side of the tracks you were born, how the cards were dealt. But wealth is a function of choice, and it is a function of discipline, and it is a function of decision, and it is a function of innovation, faith, and creativity. Those men and women who have won most in life have relied mostly on themselves. The men and women who are crazy enough to believe and think that they can change the world usually do. So this is a story that must be told. This is the story of black men and women who went from poverty, and in some cases, below poverty, to reach their financial goals and objectives, and no one placed a microphone or a ball in their hand to do it. The first law of wealth is knowledge. Prosperity and wealth begins in the mind, but ends in the purse. We live and have our being in a capitalistic economy, and capitalism is not a dirty word. Capitalism is predicated upon the following fact. If you want to earn more, I suggest that you learn more. What I found in the focus groups that the average black millionaire reads 3 to 4 books a month. The average black millionaire only watches 4 hours of TV a night. That equates to 28 hours of TV a week, when the average African American watches more than 75 hours of TV a week. I had a great interview with Antonio L.A. Reed of X Factor. And he shared with me that at one point in life, when he was the president of LaFace Records, he took 8 to 10 weeks out of his busy schedule to take a management executive course at Harvard. And I said to him, I said, Antonio, what would compel you to do that? You and Babyface probably made more money over your lifetime with LaFace Records than you can spend in 10 different lifetimes. Why would you take an executive course at Harvard? He said, well, number one, the bottom line, the record business is a business. But I learned long time ago that the moment that you cease to grow, that you dedicate yourself to lifelong learning, you begin to die. If you don't take in the information, if you don't read the books, if you don't study, and if you don't grow, somewhere out in the universe, somebody else will. And the moment that you meet that other person, you lose. The second law is decision. You've got to make a conscious choice that poverty will have no place in your life. As Steve Harvey told me when I had a chance to sit down and chat with him, you got to make life choices before life makes those choices for you. I had a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Victor McFarland. Victor McFarland is the founder of McFarland Partners, a real estate developer out in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And here is a gentleman who is well on his way to joining the ranks of billionaireship. And he was born and raised in a blue-collar working-class town in Ohio to a single parent. And he told me that the first 12 years of his life, he lived in a one-bedroom apartment, and his mother had a couch in the foyer area of that apartment. And for the first 12 years of his life, that couch substituted as the bed that Victor and his sister slept on. And when he shared that anecdote with me, you know, I became somewhat sympathetic and empathetic, and he cut me off at the knees during the interview. And he said, "Doc, no sympathy for me. As a matter of fact, those were probably the best 12 years of my life." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It was during the 12-year period that I made a conscious decision that poverty would have no place in my life." You've got to make these life choices. At the counter of success, there are no bargains. You've got to pay the price, and you've got to pay it in full. The average individual is bombarded with 50 million different choices day in and day out. And the majority of those choices we don't have to address, we can avoid. But there are two choices that you must look and confront as soon as you wake up in the morning. Number one, you can accept the circumstances as they are. Or number two, you can take the responsibility to change them. Make life choices before life makes those choices for you. The third law of wealth, you got to believe in yourself when no one else will. Here is the one quality, here is the one value that has created more black millionaires than any other attribute. You see, it was faith that will allow Kathy Hughes to endure more than 60 rejections trying to find financing for her first radio station. You see, it was faith that would allow Bob Johnson, no matter where he was with his struggling BET station.
Are you looking to dramatically
Sister Cece, you want to jump in here?
Got 1, 2, and 3. 1 I missed because I walked away, and of course I've heard this 8,000 times, but he'll go back over it again. But let's jump down to 2. So he talked about decision, and he talked about belief in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. So Robert, so far, what do you think about what he's saying? Uh-oh, Robert's muted. Hold on, Robert. Okay, Robert. Oh, no, still no Robert. Hold on. Okay, Robert. So far, what do you think about what he's saying?
I mean, very, very strong points he's making. This is something that you got to listen to. You got to, you know, we rode home, and I was like, this is what we have to be on. You know, one of the most profound things that I heard him say, and it's in reference to black people. And I was just about to post it on Facebook, is that, you know, if you're spending 72 hours or more a week watching TV, you're headed for self-destruction.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because if you're just sitting in front of the TV, no matter what you're watching, that can be a problem. And he said that most people that have gotten wealthy read 4 books a month or something like that. I think he said 4 books a month. I'm working my way to that, honestly, now that I have time that I'm sitting in now I'm sitting in the flea market. I have time to read and really reflect and do the things that I need to do. So I've gotten back to reading. You know, personally, I'm doing research on books that would be good for us to read. I would like to do some book reading in this on this radio network, because I think that would be good for us. Okay, so let's get back to the video real quick, okay? Y'all just listen up.
Get on a plane, fly back to Chicago, get a rental car, drive to the home of McDonald's and sit in the lobby of McDonald's headquarters, hoping to find anybody in the marketing department so he could pitch his BET station to. He was trying to find a major sponsor. And it was faith that allowed Damon John to get his struggling FUBU apparel line off the ground. And I said to Damon, I said, what was the defining moment in your life? And he said to me, he said, when I had to burn the furniture. I said, what do you mean burn the furniture? He said, when I finally got financing for my apparel line, I went out and I hired a bunch of seamstresses. And they showed up at my mother's house with all their equipment, and I had no place to store their sewing machines. I said, what did you do? He said, I took all my mother's furniture out of the house, took it to the backyard, and I set it on fire. The wealthy make money while the rest of us make excuses. If you knew who walks beside you on this journey called life, you would never doubt or fear again. And then last but not least, there I am with Tyler Perry. And I asked him, I said, Tyler, how did you go from poverty in some circumstances, below poverty, to build one of the most profitable, I guess, you know, production companies in Hollywood, $145 million. And his simple reply was, nothing but the grace of God. Believe in yourself when no one else will. The fourth law of wealth, to thy own self be true. What is the greatest resource in the world? The greatest resource in the world is the passionate, committed mind. What have you been sent here to do? Do you know your area of excellence? What is your life's purpose? And these black millionaires, they know specifically what they are attempting to do and what they will do. They know their life's purpose. They know their area of excellence. And if you're going to identify your area of excellence, you've got to ask yourself three critical questions. Question number one, what do I love to do? What do I have a passion for? What can I throw my whole heart and soul into? Question number two, what would I do for free? If no one ever paid me a dime, if no one ever gave me a financial reward for my efforts, what would I do for free? Because when you're doing what you love to do and you would do it for free, your work is your play. And if your work is your play, you'll never work a day in your life. And question number three, if you can't answer the two questions, go to those people who you respect and admire and ask, what do you see me as? What do you think I would be good at doing? The average individual in our society gets four ideas a year, any one of which, if they had the guts, the courage, the fortitude to chase their dream, would make them financially independent. What is the music that is beating in your heart? What is your life's purpose? If you didn't show up at this particular hour, this particular moment in time, what would the world miss? A career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. The fifth law of wealth, how may I serve thee? Service is the price you pay for the space that you occupy, and anybody can serve. I don't care where you are in life, as I discovered in my focus groups and one-on-one interviews with these black millionaires, anybody can add value. Anybody can wow the customer. Anybody can be the most positive person in the room. Anybody can increase sales, and we can all serve. I want you to take this formula, burn it in your subconscious. Q plus Q plus MA equals C. The quality of your service plus the quantity of your service plus the mental attitude in which it is rendered always equals compensation. People will make you rich or people will make you poor depending upon the level of your service. Who taught me that? Valerie Daniels Carter. Valerie Daniels Carter, here is a black woman who owns minimum 121 fast food franchises. More than 100 fast food franchises between Burger King and Pizza Hut alone. And what she told me is that anyone can serve. I had a great interview with a young gentleman in Detroit. He's a young millionaire out of Detroit. And when he graduated from college, the only job that he could get was working in one of the top restaurants in the Detroit area. But he took that job, and he was passionate, and he was thankful for even having the opportunity to work there. And it showed in his countenance, and it showed in his service and behavior. Well, one day, one of the highest-ranking black females from McDonald's came in there to eat with her husband. She was so impressed with his passion and the way that he delivered service, doing more than what is expected, doing more than what was required. And after leaving a sizable tip, she left her business card on that table. And that business card, on the back of it, she wrote, young man, if you are ever interested in owning and operating a restaurant for yourself, please call me first. Well, a couple of months later, he took her up on that offer and he called that number. And she was strategic and Ken Brown buying his first to McDonald's restaurants. Add value. Wow the customer. Service is the price you pay for the space that we occupy. The sixth law of wealth, thou shalt be in business for thyself. Years ago, I'm in the book line study of Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I'm seated in his study, and I'm looking at every book on God's green earth that you would ever want to read, study, or examine in your life. And all of a sudden, here Bishop Jakes walks in. And what do we know about Bishop T.D. Jakes? Well, number one, they told him he would never make it in the ministry. He left Charleston, West Virginia with only 8 members. He didn't finish high school. He went back to get his GED. He has a heavy lisp, and I brought that up during the time of our interview. And I said to him, I said, Bishop, I said, how in the world did you go from Charleston, West Virginia with only 8 members to building the Potter's House, 191,000 square foot facility with a value of more than $45 million? And he said to me, he says, well, young man, my critics weren't altogether wrong. I do have a heavy lisp, and if you hear close enough, you can listen to it, you can hear it. But then he said, I don't care whether I had to spit, I don't care whether I had to stutter, I don't care whether I had to stammer. I had something to say, and I was going to say it. I said, well, Bishop, give me the keys to wealth, give me the keys to prosperity, give me the keys to owning and
Okay. CC, are you there? This is a very, very, very dynamic.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to go to break now.
Yes.
No, the break's at the top of the hour. There's a commercial.
Oh, I think it's in 8 minutes.
Yeah, there's a commercial going on right now, so that's why I stopped it. So if y'all want to comment on what you heard thus far.
Oh, okay. I'm like, okay, that must be the commercial he said was coming. You meant there's a commercial there in 8 minutes. Okay, sorry. So go ahead, Robert. I know you're like on fire because this is your stuff. So what do you think?
Well, the one thing about the story about the young man that was met in the restaurant and someone had paid attention to his service. And it was great for me to hear that again. You was actually in the booth today, and I made a deal with some customers. I think he was in the booth, and he wanted this hat, and I have it priced at 7, and he had 5, and he had just spent some money. And I said to him, I said, well, what kind of money do you have? He said, well, I got $5, and I was comfortable with that, but the thing that was on my mind was I'm not going to sell myself short at all because I know what I got that merchandise for. So I went on here and gave him that for $5, and you could see he was happy about that. And I wasn't upset that I came down $2 off of that merchandise. But bigger than what I'm saying is the service to the people. See, we have to know how to buy it right in order to sell it right. And in the process of selling it right, then we have to be able to communicate effectively with our people in such a way that it makes spending money comfortable for them. They want to always come back to you. I had a woman today that just said that. She said, I'll pass the other guys by just to come by and spend money with you. I've heard this several times today. And that's one of the main things that we must concentrate on is our service to the people. Not so much as the dollar. You have to know what you got into it and know what you can stand to lose a little bit on the sale. But if you can stand to lose a little bit on the sale, think about it like this. If I lose a little bit on this sale, how many more times is that person going to come in and buy it at your price? And if they buy it at your price over and over and over again, then guess what? You throw them a deal again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, we have Dave Wren on the line. He's going to come in and talk to us about an alternate to the stock market because, you know, in all information, it could be good, but we have to remember that we must eat the meat and spit out the bones.
Right.
And the ugly side of all of this wealth building is there are people getting wealth off of our backs just like other people have done. I'm not ever afraid to say that. I've worked with people that have done that and are still doing that. So I never advocate for that type of thing. But with that being said, we don't necessarily agree with doing the stocks or stock market or anything like that. Not necessarily. So that's why we have Dave on the line, because we need him to talk to us about that. Although he does that on his show, which is called Tando Radio, he can talk to us about the stock market. So I'm going to open up the line. Well, before I do that, if you guys would like to join us, go to www.uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, or you can call 1-866-510-9025. ** is what you should press so we can see you in queue. Again, 1-866-510-9025, **. Okay, so we're going to get Dave Wren on the line so he can talk to us. Again, Dr. Kimbrough, very good information. Must eat the meat, spit out the bones, do your own research, and have a network of advisors around you or people that you can trust that have actually done these things, and it's not just lip service. So we don't want to be making money off the backs of our poverty, but we definitely do want to make money, and there are ways to do that. So let's let Dave in right now. Hello, David.
CC, the golden voice of Black Radio. What's going on, CC?
Nothing much. I also have my co-host, Robert 11X, on the line.
Brother Robert, what's going on?
Oh, everything is real black fabulous.
I was, you know, and it was so funny. I was listening, and I came in when Robert was talking about servicing. And, you know, that's so true. You know, the fast walk of sales has to be tempered by the slow walk of service. And Robert is absolutely right. And that's where it really should start. And then there's always, you know, a lot of when we talk about having a business and providing a service for our customers, and particularly within our community, it's not just a matter of a transaction. Sometimes there's a lot of education that we have to give to, you know, some of our customers and some of our clients, and particularly in our community, because there's a lot of traps and pitfalls that people may think that is in their best interest, but it really isn't. So I always, you know, one of the things that I always try to do is I always try to strike relationships with people, because relationships with people should actually be the cornerstone of business relations with people. And so I think that's very, very important. And Robert was spot on with talking about providing a service, because there's a service and then there should be an education that we provide to our customers, and particularly within our community. But, you know, sometimes not all of, you know, and that goes both ways. And I think that that's very, very critical. One thing I do not ever believe in is that the customer is always right. That is some marketing scheme that is not true. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, sometimes your customer can be completely off base off of things, and it's really, if you really care about them, especially if you have a relationship with them, it's incumbent upon you to give them the best information and then let them make their own decision. And so I don't really live by that customer is always right. What is really true is that truth is always more important than just being right. So I think that there's a measure of truth that we have to have within our relationships in all forms and fashions.
Absolutely. Now, when we speak about those things should be foundational when you're doing your business. So it's good that we're talking about them. But what we're talking about, too, is building wealth. Now, Dave, you have been teaching us for about 2 years now about building wealth and proper ways of doing it and storing different types of metals and that type of stuff. For the people who are new to the network and to this radio station, you know, they need some foundation on how to build wealth. So what suggestions do you have in building wealth versus what someone else may tell them about building wealth through the stock market?
Well, I would say with building wealth, one of the things, in my opinion, how you build wealth, is something that is really building your prosperity. And prosperity is something that you want to hand down. And so in that, you want to actually have built enough wealth and prosperity for those that you have yet not named, meaning you want to invest forward. You want to build wealth and prosperity going forward to people that, you know, to your family members and people that are close to you that you haven't even yet named, meaning your great-great-grandchildren and down that line. You want to start to look at investing forward. And one of the things that I firmly believe in, that there is different methods to doing that, but your objective should be in building wealth. For just for me, wealth does not start with where I am individually. Wealth really starts in what I'm investing forward with, like I said earlier, with those that I've yet not named. Because to me, that's where the real momentum can really start to build, to where you start to build wealth, you know, from a more sustainable, continuous basis. You know, so it becomes the changing of the way that we think, because if I teach my children how to invest forward, that becomes, you know, their path. And then they will be able to teach their children and so forth and so on, just as if, you know, the poverty, the cycle of poverty has been taught within certain communities. You can even say within our community, because that's a learned behavior. So wealth is something that you want to have going forward in a learned behavior cycle that's in their best interest, that will always be prosperous. Now, I would always say that in doing that, you can never start with a coupon. You can never start with a coupon, or you can never start with a piece of paper, because that's, you know, that's really what it is. So I don't say that you build, or nor that you should save in paper. What I mean by paper, in cash. You know, you want to build in actual vehicle in investment instruments that have intrinsical value, meaning just because they exist, they're able to do something. Just like you, CC, and you, Rob. CC, you have talents, and Rob, you have talents because you exist. Okay, that's your intrinsical value. And what you want to do is you want to save in things just because they exist, they have intrinsical value. Some of the things that we think have intrinsical value. To tell you, cash is not something that you should be saving in, because it has no intrinsical value. That's why right. It loses its purchasing power. Same thing with stocks, in my opinion. I never, ever, ever try to engage in something that has not tempered or been around for many economic cycles of duress. Mm-hmm. I don't want to engage in something that has not withstood the test of time over economic crises from the past and so forth and so forth. When you look at the stock market, it's not something that's been around for a very long time, so it hasn't proven itself to maintain some form of intrinsical value. Yes, it'll give you a quick hit fix, because it's a gambling venture. It's not an investment venture. It's a gambling venture, and actually, it's a derivative more likely. Just like CC, if you and I and Robert were, let's just say hypothetically, we would go to a football game, a Seattle Seahawks football game, and you and Robert like the Seahawks, and I like the team that they're playing, the Atlanta Falcons, okay? And then I say, CC, I bet that the Atlanta Falcons are going to win, and I'm willing to put up $100. And I'm going to bet you and Robert. Now, you and Robert say, well, we like Seattle Seahawks, so we're going to put up $100 also. What we just done is called a derivative, because our overall value of our bet is derived from something that we can't control. you're not going to get on that field, CeCe, and replace Russell Wilson. And
no.
And Rob's not going to get on that field and replace Coach Carroll. And I'm not going to go on that field, and I'm not going to replace Julio Jones. So it's incumbent on you to actually be able to get any form of value based off someone else's abilities, talents, or their moral convictions.
Right.
And the moral hazard that goes along with it. So I don't engage in something, in someone, or give any form of my, you know, work of my energy to someone else that I don't know, that I don't have a vested interest in, that I can't trust because I don't know them. And that's what the stock market is. It's a gamble more than an investment. And anyone that tells you anything outside of that has a vested interest in that gamble themselves, because it's a derivative. Is the value is derived from something that you are not doing. Okay? Something that you're not doing. Now, if you played on the Seahawks and Robert was the coach of the Seahawks and I played on the Falcons, then it wouldn't be a derivative because we have more direct influence on the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, see, the owners and the players have an outcome from the – so they're not gambling. They're investing.
Right.
They're putting their energy into something that can produce for them. That's investing. The stock market is not investing. It's gambling.
Well, you know what, David? We can't afford to gamble anymore. I mean, we've basically gambled everything away. I think Scotty has something to say about investing. Scotty, are you there?
Yes, and hello again to Dave. What's going on, Brother Dave?
Brother Scotty, what's going on?
All right. Well, we're talking about investing. We were playing this video clip from Dr. Kimbrough, that's his name, right? Dr. Kimbrough.
Yeah, Dennis Kimbrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the first thing I noticed was he was like, if you play the stock market, I'm not going to say anything wrong with it, but, you know, if you into that sort of thing, that sort of attitude, like, he really didn't have a high opinion of investing in the stock market. Now, this is what I would say, okay, because I am involved in, like, some black business crowdfunding portals and what have you. If you know the individual, like if CC said, I'm going to start this business and whatnot, and you registered the business so that you could take investment capital where we could crowdfund, you have a crowdfund campaign under the new SEC rules. But see, I know CC. I don't know
right.
Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know the head of Microsoft. I don't know the people that's over here over these other companies that I would be investing in their dream, not investing in my dream. I'm hoping to make a little something, but I could lose it all. And people have lost it all. But you know, there is this thing that I've been hearing lately on social media about, you know, this $5 plan. Where you take $5 a day and invest it in the stock market, and in 20 years you'll have $100,000. And that's speaking to a certain type of individual. That's speaking to somebody with a job, with a pension already. You know what I'm saying? And that's not speaking to detaching from the system. That's not speaking to the purpose of this program, which is to encourage black entrepreneurship. So if I'm going to take, I would rather take that $5 a day and put it into something short term, like a money market CD or, you know, whatever I can, and then take that seed to start my business. You see what I'm saying? And invest in myself and my vision. So, and that's what you were talking about, Dave, when you were saying CC has certain skills, Robert has certain skills that have intrinsical value. And so you invest in those things, and I think entrepreneurialism is the best investment if you're talking about investing in intrinsic value. I just wanted to add that.
Right. Well, that's a very good adage, and I think most importantly, what we also need to do too is, and Dr. Kimbrough talks about this, is recognizing our skills. We have so many gifts and talents, like you were talking about, Scotty, And if we put those things to work and we can invest in each other, we could definitely get a lot farther. Like, you know, Scotty has this Black Talk Radio Network, and he actually has opened up his own whole network. And now he has his own social media. Well, he doesn't say it's his. He says it belongs to everybody. But he has a social media platform. Now, what if everybody invested in Black Talk Radio Network in one way or another? I mean, that is definitely maximizing an investment right there, because we're able to get the word out to our people on our own platform without being stifled. So, I mean, that is a great investment, and we need to think about things like that. You know, we think about wealth and investments, we tend to go all the way to the left, like the stock market or some kind of crazy real estate scam where they're charging you up the yin-yang with these percentages. But that's why this network exists. That's why this radio program exists, so that you all can start thinking in a different way, you know, because everybody here is willing and able to help you to do things in a different way, so that, you know, we're not gambling anymore. We don't have any more time to gamble. We are really, really low on the totem pole concerning economics. So again, we are here so that you can learn what you need to learn instead of getting bamboozled. Okay, we need to go to a commercial break, you all. So you listen to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, everybody, we are back, ready, rocking and rolling, talking about wealth, building it, how can we get it, rights and wrongs, eating the meat, spitting out the bones, you know, group economics, all those things. I mean, they tend to be flying around a lot on social media, and, you know, there's good information, there's bad information, but we are here to give you good information. Good information that you can definitely take to the bank in cash, not literally, because we really don't recommend that either, but okay. Dave, so go ahead and complete what it was that you were telling us, you know, about wealth. What were you saying to us before we stopped?
Yeah, so I definitely firmly believe, as we all were just saying together, you know, investment is something that you do with where you're directly involved in it. You know, we're invested in Black Talk Media Project. We're invested in different things collectively together, because we need to. That's very, very important. And probably the greatest investment that you can do is with yourself first. Now, as far as wealth building, I think that is, for me, one of the most important foundations of wealth building is actually looking at things from a asset base, something that, in spite of economic downturns or economic calamities, that you won't lose everything that you have. You still have something that still has great value. And, you know, there's different forms of money. Land is a form of money. It's just not the most perfect form of money. Because to meet the criteria of money, you have to be portable, and you can't put a acre of land in your pocket and take it with you. You know, it's, if you have land in Idaho and then you're in California, well, that land is in Idaho and you're in California. You can't take that acre or how many, you know, acres you have or how many square feet you have, put it in your pocket and take it with you. So, that, you know, land is a form of money, but it's not the most perfect form of money. I think that in order to really start to build wealth, You have to start primarily with money, and that's assets. And the most perfect form of money is the precious metals, because it meets all of the criteria and then some of the characteristics of money, not cash. Cash and money is two different things. Cash is nothing more than currency. It's not money. So I think in wealth building, and you can start very, very small with that. And you know, you start with saving, because one of the most important things, and we talk about this on, you know, and we talk about this every time we talk about, you know, building wealth and saving. Before you could build wealth, you have to first learn how to save. You have to have the discipline of saving. And saving starts when you actually expend some of your energy, you get something in return from that, and then you move that into a asset vehicle that does not lose its purchasing power. And that, in my, you know, one of the things, there's different ways you could do it, but probably the most effective and efficient way is the precious metals. So whenever you save in real money or precious metals, you are freezing your purchasing power of your labor. I like to put it this way. You know, whenever you go to a grocery store and you buy groceries, and let's say you're a meat eater. Cece's not a meat eater, so let's say she's buying, you know, something that has to be refrigerated, okay? Or if you're a meat eater, you buy meat, you take it home, you wash it, and you put it in the freezer. And Cece would take something home that you know, that has to be refrigerated. She takes it home and puts it in the refrigerator. Why do we do that? To put the meat in the refrigerator and whatever it is that we need to keep refrigerated in the refrigerator. We do that for this purpose. We do that so that that will actually preserve what we purchase so that we can use it and it will be fresh at a later date. So that's the exact same thing when it comes to building wealth. You want to freeze or refrigerate your energy in something that will be fresh later on in your life in case you need it or you want to pass it on, and it will still have purchasing power. And that's what the precious metals will do. It freezes the purchasing power, and it freezes the labor that you actually expended to get it. Cash does not do that for you. So
right,
that's where,
right.
You know, one of the first things you want to do when you're talking about wealth is that you have to first become a prodigious saver even before you can have any measure of wealth.
You know what, David? That's so important that you said that you must first learn to be a saver before you could grow wealth, because we know that as soon as the dollar comes in, it goes right back out, whether it's for bills or frivolous spending. So that is a whole nother piece to wealth building. How do you begin to save? You know, you have to start somewhere. So if someone is really, which a lot of people are, you know, really living paycheck to paycheck, how would you suggest that they save?
Great question. I think it's a couple of ways. Let's say the key to being a millionaire is not to live like one. The key to being a hundredaire or a thousandaire is that you can't live like one. So whatever you're bringing in as a form of income for the labor that you, or the energy that you're expending, you cannot live at that level. You have to live beneath it. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the first and most important things. The key to being a millionaire is not to live like one. If you're a millionaire, you have millionaire bills, you're broke.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a billionaire, you have billionaire bills, you're broke. If
Absolutely.
All you have is $100 and you make $100 and you have $100 bills, you're broke. So I would suggest that you first thing you do is you pay yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Before the IRS, yes, I said it, before the IRS, before the church, yes, I said it, the church, before anything else, you pay you.
Right.
You pay you before you pay your friends, before you give out to anything else. You pay you first, because if you're not able to sustain yourself, no one else will. Let's take, for example, if you're not able to sustain yourself, do you think that the government is going to sustain you? No.
Absolutely.
How about this
not.
One? How about this one? If you are able to sustain yourself, you think the church is going to sustain you?
Absolutely not.
So let's be real about this. Mm-hmm. So the first person that you pay is you. How do you do that? You take a percentage of whatever it is that you make, and you put that into a savings. And that savings is that you don't give it to another person to hold for you or anything else. You don't give it to a FA, a financial advisor, this and that. No, you don't give it to that individual. You have to become what you desire to be. Your full potential is within you. You have to bring that out. You have to first you pay yourself. You hold on to that, and there's ways in which you can move that cash into a savings. Best way to do it, the most efficient, quickest way to do it is to buy silver. You move that into silver. Then you start to build up. And then let me tell you something about when you start to save, it becomes very addictive. You become addicted to it. Case in point, whenever I buy something, let's say I want to buy a shirt, I will look at the price of the shirt not from a dollar denominated value. I look at it from a price of silver. So one shirt, let's say a shirt costs $100. I say, how many ounces of silver is this going to cost me? And then that puts that shirt in a value or intrinsic comparison to silver. And a lot of times I'll walk away from it because I'll realize something. I don't need that. And so that becomes the mindset. So I say first I think the best thing you do is you first pay yourself. Before you pay anyone else, you pay you. You earned it. You have to save it. And that's what you're saving is your energy. And put it in a vehicle that does not lose its purchasing power. So the best thing to do is to go with the precious metals, in my opinion. It's the quickest, most efficient, most effective way to do it. So I think it really starts there.
Now, I got a question. Now, when you put this money that you set aside into the precious metals, let's say silver, okay, so now I've saved, let's just say I put aside $500 for the month of January. Now, I want to put it in a vehicle where it won't get lost, but then all of a sudden, I need to get that $500 back due to some certain emergency. Now, how hard is it for a person to actually get that $500 back out of the silver?
Great question, Robert. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. And the what I would always say is that one thing that you want to do is that your silver savings is something that you don't want to touch it, you know, if at all possible. But if you needed to do it, at least you know you have that there, you know, as an emergency. And also, when you purchase things that have intrinsical value. Don't purchase, you know, faddish things that are just, you know, consumerism. Make sure you're buying things. This is why you see some people buy different things that we haven't been taught to buy. We don't look at different purchases as investment. You know, there's some people that buy art because it's an investment. You know, that some people buy, a lot of people don't know, some people buy guns because it's an investment. In case anything ever happens, they can transfer that they can liquidate that into cash to help them out in whatever circumstances that they're in. But to answer your question directly, actually, getting cash for silver is not difficult at all. The precious metals is not. That is one of the only forms of money that's accepted everywhere in the world. Your dollar is not accepted everywhere in the world, so you won't have a problem with exchanging that. What I do suggest is that you do have some cash as, you know, for emergencies, okay? And, you know, that's something that you would do. I would only dip into your silver or your precious metals or your real savings if it was, you know, that, you know, if it was, you know, that necessary. It has to be, that's like your last resort place that you go to start to liquidate. But at least you have it in case that does happen. So it's not difficult at all.
Let me say this, Robert, because he's very new to the silver information, although I've given him some information. But This is what you can liken it to, Robert. You know, those coins that you save that you don't believe in anybody touching ever?
Right.
That's how you have to think of silver. Once you buy it, you don't even think about it anymore. You don't think about, well, I could go and cash in my silver, because you are really ripping yourself off by handing over your real money, you know. So you never want to do that. Once you purchase it, it needs to go away, because you're not purchasing it so that you can just go out and frivolously say, oh, well, I need to whatever. No, that, I mean, because that's what I do. Like, you haven't even seen me do anything, but I mean, I don't even, nothing. I don't even think of my real money at all. So when you purchase it, and you don't have to purchase it in large quantities. Let's talk about that for a minute. You don't have to purchase it in large quantities. You could purchase silver dimes, you know, you could purchase, you know, very small amounts. But as long as you're putting your paper coupons, changing your paper coupons into real money, then you're in the business. But if you're just holding on to these dollars, like you see people doing, making it rain and stacks of money on Facebook and all that stuff, you are really, really setting yourself up for some disaster, because at any time, this dollar could be worth nothing. Well, we already know it is worth nothing, but it could just go downhill super, super fast. So the best thing to do is really turn that into real money. Okay, David, keep on going.
No, it's yo, go ahead, Robert.
Because as a listener that never heard anything about this type mm-hmm. of investment.
Right.
So now, most people think, when you think about precious metals, if they even know that term, the first thing would come to their mind is gold. Okay, now mm-hmm. we know that there's a lot of places out here that buy gold. So to a listener that's listening to the show and say, okay, we'll buy silver, what does that look like in terms of maturing investment? You know what I'm saying? If I spend $1,000 in silver, what does that equate to dollar-wise, or how long will it take for that to actually mature into something that's more profitable than the $1,000 that you invested?
You know what, that's a great, great question, especially from the standpoint of different listeners. Now, there's I'm going to put it this way. There's a reason why you see cash for gold places all over the place. One of the reasons is because they want to give you worthless while they take priceless. The gold is priceless and the cash is worthless. That's why they're willing to have that exchange for you. I call that soft mining, okay, just so you know. Now, just so everyone would know. Now, just to answer Robert's question and this is the way a question should be formulated, because it helps the person that has never heard about precious metals this is new to them about acquiring silver and everything else. Now, here's the thing. Take it this way. When you purchase silver, okay, one of the things that you don't want to do is you never want to place silver, hold silver in a dollar-denominated value. You never hold silver, because it's real money, in a denominated value of cash, okay? You never, ever, ever hold it in a – you never compare silver to a dollar, because silver is superior to the dollar. The dollar is inferior. Here's the reason why, Robert, and for everyone that's listening. And why I say that is this. The system wants you to be price sensitive. They always want you to look at the dollar as the benchmark for everything. They do that because that keeps you in a state of servitude and subjugation to the economy. You become a debt slave. And this is where cash rules everything around you. And that's not true, but that's what the system wants you to live by. Okay, so you never, ever, ever look at gold or silver or the precious metals and compare them to the dollar. But the system does. This is why you don't do it, because one is currency and one is money. And currency can never do what money does, okay? Money can do everything that currency can do. So this is to make it simple for the listeners. Why I say that is this. you can have an let's say an American Silver Eagle, okay, a 1 ounce of silver, American Silver Eagle. It says $1 on it, okay? Now, it says $1 on it. A U.S. paper note, a Federal Reserve note that comes from the Federal Reserve, a private bank, and it says a note on it. You look at your cash, your dollar bill, that's what it says on it. It says $1 on it as well. Here's why you never compare a silver to a dollar. They both say $1 on it. But in order for you to acquire or to have in your possession or to get an American Silver Eagle that says $1 on it, right now you have to spend 21 paper dollars to get it. And that's because the paper is falling behind the silver. It requires more paper to get that $1 of silver. Because the $1 of silver is this. The key to the whole thing is that it's truly a dollar. The word dollar means silver. And the paper is not. It's just a piece of paper.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, because money used to be silver, correct?
Yeah. It still yeah, is.
The coins that we have today are not silver, though, right?
Yeah, the coins that are minted today aren't silver. Mm-hmm. They're clad with, and actually nickel is the only one that has real nickel in it. But they're actually going to be taking the nickel out of that, because whenever a country goes into debt default, one of the first things that they do is they demonetize their coins. And in 1964, the United States went into bankruptcy. And how you know it went into bankruptcy, it was the extension of the bankruptcy. Because what they did was they took silver out of the quarters and the dimes. Mm. And then in 1971, Nixon closed the gold window in August of 1971, August the 15th of 1971. Nixon closed the gold window because the United States went into default because it no longer had the gold, that they had more paper than they had gold, and the gold went to China.
Mm.
So this is why you never compare the maturity of gold in dollars. It's actually the opposite. You're hoping one day that your currency will be backed by silver and gold.
Right, right.
Because then it will mature. Silver and gold never has to mature.
Mm-hmm.
It never has mature. It's always in a state of maturity, because it
mm-hmm.
always has intrinsical value. Your dollar doesn't. You know, it's like the price. I like to put it this way. When you go to the grocery store, is the price of milk going up or going down?
Probably.
Okay. In actuality, it's not. The
wow.
price of milk is still right where it is. If the value of your dollar is going down, you need to give more dollars to get milk. See, and this is the trick that the system teaches us, because the system schools us to be debt slaves.
Right.
You have to get an education to understand monetary and fiscal policies and how to build and hold wealth. That's an education. Big
wow.
difference in the schooling.
Definitely. Definitely a big difference, because this what you're telling us now is not common knowledge. It's not common information that people just know. You have to seek out to be taught real information about your life and sustaining what you do have and building building wealth. This is definitely about your life. Listeners, you should really be paying attention to this, and you should be doing your own research, because I'm quite sure some of you are just hearing this information for the first time. You never really thought about investing in the precious metals. And we just talked about silver and gold, but there are more precious metals than that. And this whole system that we're talking about now, there's actually a class that Dave teaches. Dave, are you still teaching the class?
Yes, we started back teaching the class. So we do have a class that we do teach, and it's a precious metals class, and why you should have it. and what you should be doing with it. And then, you know, we give you some information and you can start to do some of your own research and to actually start to protect yourself and your family. And believe me, in today's world, you definitely need that. And, you know, CC said something very earlier that this at any moment, this dollar can lose its purchasing power. And a lot of people don't realize how fragile and how true that is. See, the dollar is used as an instrument to enslave. It's a debt instrument. I always say, you know, on our show, I always say that the wage of a king is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman, excuse me, the wage of a queen and a king is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver. The wage of a slave is debt. They pay you debt. They pay you paper because it's worth nothing. And so what we do was that we teach the difference between currency and money and why you should be doing different things. And believe me, if you were in India on November the 7th and you would have heard in November the 6th and November the 7th of last year of 2016, if you were in India and you heard this broadcast there, you would be like, oh, wow, that's mildly interesting. But then the next day on November the 8th, on the election day that they had in the United States, but if you were in India, Modi, that next day, the Prime Minister of India came on air at 8 o'clock at night and said at 12 o'clock this evening, at 12 p.m. this evening, your cash is no longer worth anything. They demonetized 86%. Now, this is the seventh largest economy in the world. It would be much more striking to you once you realize that this paper in your hand has now just made itself known to you that is nothing more than a coupon that you clip out of the newspaper.
Wow.
So back in India, it would have been mildly interesting, like it's mildly interesting to a lot of people here. But wait until that expiration date that they don't put on it comes up to you and it tells you, sorry, this is now expired, and it doesn't pay. It doesn't. You can't have a medium of exchange. You can't buy milk at which
it's
you
now.
Buy.
It's now toilet right. paper.
What happens is this, right? You don't have to count off your cash to buy milk. You got to weigh it because today the price of milk is 21 pounds of dollars. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That's far more than $21. 21 pounds.
Of dollars,
huh?
Damn.
So wow. this is what's happening, and see, some of us don't realize because, you know, it's not something that the mainstream wants us to know. I always say, if you don't hold gold, you know nothing about history and you know nothing about economy. If you don't have silver and gold, that's because you know nothing about history. You know nothing about fiscal history, and you know nothing about how the economy works. I don't care who you are. You could have went to the business school at Harvard. You could have been an economist. You could be a Keynesian economist. And if you're a Keynesian economist, I know you don't have silver and gold because you know nothing about the economy.
Now, wow.
I got another question. Now, for these places that buy gold, can you, for our listening audience as well as myself, can you tell us, because we know that gold is selling over $1,000, maybe $1,300. I haven't even seen the price of gold in the last 2 months or so, but I know the last time I saw it was well over $1,300 an ounce. How are the We Buy Gold places making money, and what percent of that by the ounce of that $1,300 or $1,400, whatever it's selling for, what percent of that are they actually paying to the people for their gold or silver?
I'll answer that. Pennies.
What'd you say, CC?
Pennies.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. CC is giving you a better deal than what the truth is. She's saying pennies, and I'm telling you nothing.
Right.
They aren't paying you anything for it. It's a facade.
Right.
It's a facade. It's an illusion. And the reason being is because the dollar is based in confidence. And at some point, and you're already seeing the confidence being lost. This is why you see the skirmishes that you're seeing in mainstream media play itself out, because they know that they need to have the economic fall of the United States. Why? Because if they don't have it, they will lose control and people will start to wake up and say, hey, this is all a sham. So to answer your question, Robert, they are actually getting silver and gold for nothing. So this is why they're giving you paper. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Where does cash come from?
Right.
It's not mined.
It's printed.
Okay? It's not even just printed. It's digitally created by someone saying, okay, here, this is what we're going to do today. And what are they able to do with that? They're able, this is the great deception. The great economic deception is this. Robert, let me ask you, have you ever sweated at a job?
Wait, before Robert answers if he's ever sweated at a job, we have to go to a commercial break. You're listening to BIB Radio. We're on the Black Talk Radio Network. Join us after we come back from commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New Black Media.
Alrighty. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to BIB Radio. We're talking about wealth. And at this point, what is real wealth and how do we build it? How do we save? What is the value of a dollar? Do you know about precious metals? I mean, that's where the real wealth is. So we're talking to Dave Wren of Tando Radio. Some of you listeners out there have never heard of precious metals and this type of wealth building, and have never heard that your paper dollar is like one of those coupons out of your Sunday paper. So we're talking about these things right now, and Dave is asking Robert, what did you ask him again? I forgot. Just that quick.
Have I ever sweated on a job?
Has he ever sweated on a job? And I can tell you the answer. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that's been over 30 years ago, and I can't say I remember. I was working for a buddy of mine. We were doing landscaping work, tilling the yards in Atlanta, and I did one of the Atlanta Falcons players, Deion Sanders. And I got done with that yard sweating, and I was sore. So, yes, sir, I have.
Okay. Now, the reason why I said that is because of this. Now, most of us can identify with working for someone and then really having a labor-intensive job or task that they said that they would be paying us for. Okay? So, now, you had this labor-intensive job that you sweated and you've given energy, and then that energy actually produce something. But what happened was that the system pays you something that's worthless in return. So they really got your energy, the task and what you produce for free, because they gave you a piece of paper. Okay? Now, even though that piece of paper, at that time, you could go and take it to the store and as a medium of exchange and get something else for it. But here's where the deception is. They get you. We're addicted to debt. We're addicted to cash, and it is not in our best interest. Okay, we're actually cash junkies. We have a false confidence in cash. What happens is this: they give us, let's say that was 30 years ago or so. That's a great example at being 30 years ago. If that person would have paid you $20 back in, I'm just saying, for example, $20 for your labor that you expended for that task, 30 years ago, that $20 right now has disliked them only paying you $3. And but guess what? It's the same sweat. It's the same muscle soreness. It's the same amount of energy that you expended for nothing at all. Why? Because it has no intrinsic value. It's based in confidence. And whose confidence is it based in? Their confidence in what they're stealing from you, which is priceless, your energy. Slavery has totally changed. It's revolutionized itself. There used to be the slave plantations of acreage of fields. They've gotten so smart with it all, they revolutionized it and put it on a 6x4 inch piece of paper. And we don't even know that we're still on the plantation. And so when you asked about gold, cash for gold, what are they really giving you? They're giving you nothing. They're giving you worthless for priceless. And my thing is that one of the things that you have to do, yes, you're paid in cash. As soon as you're paid in cash, what you need to do is transfer that into a king or queen's wage, a lady or a gentleman's wage right away. You take your cash and you exchange it for something that does not lose its purchasing power and has real intrinsic value. Now you just were paid something.
Well, you know what, David? The people who go, because I remember before I knew you or anything at all, I think I was, I don't know, lost completely because the stuff that I know now is just like, my goodness. But a few years back, I attended a friend's cash for gold party. And I mean, everybody was there, you know, everybody was there and they were handing this stuff over to this woman. Like, she gave everybody a basket and they took all their stuff off and she had her calculator out and they were excited. Like, I remember one woman got $1,200 and she was like, ah! And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. These people are taking off their jewelry and the lady's handing them money. And it was pretty amazing. And I just remember thinking, wow, I wish I had more gold. But the woman that was doing all the cash handling, she was even paying people, like, if they had something that wasn't regular precious metal. Like, if you had metal, they were paying for metal, too.
Yep. Yeah, let me tell you why. The cash for gold scheme was a part of... This is not the first time it's been done. It's been done a couple of times before in history. And I call it soft mining. When the government can no longer pay their debt, one of the first things that they do is they plunder their citizens. Why? Because to be a citizen is to be the subject of the government or the queen. Okay? So they're always going to steal from their serfs. So what did they do? They told them to bring in their priceless and we'll give you worthless. So this system never gives you anything. It only takes away from you. Okay? Now, here's the difference between gold and a lot of people don't know that silver is more valuable than gold, but that's another subject.
Right.
here's the difference. In order to have gold, it's a labor-intensive engagement that you have to do to get it out of the ground. It's a labor-intensive engagement that you have to do to get it out of the ground, and you're not guaranteed that you'll get it out of the ground.
Right.
It's different with cash. They print it, and even something even more efficient and effective than that, they digitally create it. You ever look at your bank account?
Mm-hmm.
They give you digits there. That's digital currency. It's not there.
Wow. It's not there. Now that you're talking about the banking of it all. Okay, you're saying it's not there. Wasn't there some sort of mandate or law or something that was done last year saying when you put the money in the bank, it's now owned by the bank?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was done in 2010.
Okay.
The Seventh Court of Appeal had deemed that any time that you're an unsecured investor, meaning this, any time that you give your bank, because they got rid of Glass-Steagall. Glass-Steagall required that banks had to be cannot be investments. They can only work in as bankings with depositors. That's mm-hmm. just a brief synopsis of what happened. Then they came up with the Dodd-Frank and everything else that replaced it. Now, what happens now is that whenever you go to the bank and you hand them your cash, that is no longer your cash, it's theirs. You are not a depositor at your bank anymore. You are an unsecured investor. During the G20 meeting in Australia, in Brisbane, Australia, they said that money, and now the thing about that, let me preface this. When they say money, they mean cash. When I say money, I mean silver and gold, because cash is not money. But this is what the system said. The G20 said that money is no longer cash is no longer money, but paper investment. Cash has never been money. Even when it was backed by gold, okay, it was just a receipt for gold or silver. It was not actually it, okay? So They said that whenever you give your cash to a bank, it's no longer money. That FDIC stuff, that don't apply to you. And not only when it did apply to you, it's a private entity that doesn't have the overall funds to bail out more than one major bank going insolvent in this country.
Wait,
and not only that, and they don't have to pay you for 99 years.
There you go. You took the words out my mouth. Yes, they don't have to pay you for 99 years. How many of us plan to be around in the next 99 years? I mean, come on.
Right. And so now the G20 said that whenever you deposit, money is no longer, cash is no longer money, but paper investment. What does that mean? Think about an investment. Every investment that you have can be lost, because an investment can go, your principal in an investment can go to zero. You ever watch the commercials from the investment companies, the brokerage houses? They say mm-hmm. that principal is subject to market loss.
Right.
That's a disclaimer. Why is that?
Because they're
the market, and they're going to make sure that you lose. They're the market, and they determine what a loss is. So it's rigged. So now, when you go to the bank, if you read it all, this is why the bank now all of a sudden starts asking you all kinds of questions if you want to withdraw a significant amount of cash out of it. They act like it is, because it is theirs. They act like it's theirs, because it is. It's no longer yours. They do not have to give it back to you.
Wow. Not everybody knows that.
With them. You've invested with them. You didn't deposit with them. You didn't deposit. There was a rapper, and I'm make this. There was a rapper in Atlanta that you can look up on YouTube. He went into the bank and wanted to withdraw $200,000 or $100,000. They gave him the cash. They held him up. Gave him the cash. They didn't let him go right away. By the time he went out to the parking lot, he was stopped by the police, proned out, and taken into custody with the cash. Don't take my word for it. Look up the rapper in Atlanta. Okay, why was that? Because the new banking regulations. You are not a depositor anymore. Why is that? Because now when you heard of bank bailouts, well, there's something called bank bail-ins, meaning that when the bank goes under, the first thing that they're going to take is all of the cash from their depositors to make good on their bets that they lost in investment, which is the facade. The investment of the market has already been lost. The setup. A lot of people don't like to hear this, and they say, a lot of you say, it's conspiracy theory. Well, you keep thinking that until they had your butt in this long line, and you're crying like everybody that was crying in Cyprus and Greece and in India. Look up the lines where people are in India. What makes you so special? Because you're an American? No.
Wow.
Because we're so naive and so arrogant in our thoughts, we have blind faith in the system, and blind faith is always the first step to genocide. So you go on. and continue to think that you things are going to be hunky-dory and everything is going to be all right.
Okay, well, so...
the same line.
Dave, I looked up that rapper, and Scotty wants to make a comment on Banks, but the rapper's name is Black Youngsta. Black Youngsta was taken into custody. Let's see, police in Atlanta, Georgia detained the rapper Black Youngsta as he was walking out of a bank after withdrawing $200,000 in cash. Yeah, let's see, tap to read the full story. Authorities said they responded to the scene at the request of the bank manager. At the request of the bank manager over suspicion that another bank patron had cashed a fraudulent check. Is that him still? Let's see. Sam Benson? Yeah. I think this is the same person, but yeah.
Yeah, it's the same person. He was going to buy some kind of high-priced vehicle. That's what he was taking the money out for. He could have been
but
shot.
But is it the same one?
Yes, it's the same person. If it's in Atlanta, okay. If it's involving a rapper, I mean, that's you know, that doesn't happen to too many rappers that I've read about. So, yeah, I'm sure it's the same one. But something that Dave said...
Yeah, kinda, it is, Atlanta.
Yeah, uh-huh. Something Dave said...
Yep, that's him.
Something Dave said about you're not really a depositor, you are an investor, and you could basically lose right. your money. I mean, that still goes mm-hmm. back to what we were saying about the stock market. And the banks do take the depositors, just using the words they use, they do take that money and gamble on Wall Street. Because Wells Fargo, man, I had begged my mom. Well, I'm going to say begged her, but I kept bringing it up every once in a while. You're going to take your money out of Wells Fargo? They invested in it. They the second largest investor in the GEO group. That's private prison slavery.
Right.
So, that's what they doing with your deposits is, you know, all you churches out there and y'all put y'all money with Bank of America. Or, well, they then turn around and invest it in slavery. Okay, in the stock market, Geo Group, Core Civic, MTC. So, Dave, what I mean, it's like when people put their money in the bank is gambling with it and could lose
right.
it. And could lose it. Is that not correct, Dave?
Man, that's exactly what they're doing. And see, that's the plausible deniability for when the debt bubble explodes, when they're no longer the confidence in the U.S. dollar is no longer there. That's the excuse that they're going to say that there was an investment that went bad that started to have their portfolios unravel. And they've already put that into motion in the EU. Italy is unraveling. The oldest bank in the world, Monte di Pasco, is basically insolvent. So all of these banks, and there is no such thing as a difference between the banks. There's no difference between Bank of America and Bank of Italy. They're all a part of the same. They're under the same rules and regulations and policies of the BIS, the Bank of International Settlement. And if you know what they told you, which is, and you know their history, you wouldn't have any confidence in that at all. And they've actually said that it's only a matter of time before they implode. You know the overall. The debt is insolvent, and that is only a matter of time until sovereign debt defaults start to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, what we saw in 2008 was nothing more than companies that became insolvent. Do you know what that means when sovereign debt default happens? That means countries are now insolvent. There is no amount of paper that can facilitate or meet the obligations of the trillions upon trillions of dollars that's in debt right now. So when a country's go broke, you thought 2008 was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Wow. You know, and while you're talking about the banks in Italy, that kind of just takes me to the Catholic Church and the Pope. You were saying that the banks are no different. Well, let's go over to the churches. The churches are no different than the Catholic, the church with the Pope and all that. And all that stuff is tied together, you know. When we were listening to Dennis Kimbrough, he was talking about TD Jakes. And you know, all this stuff concerning money is just propaganda. We have learned about money and wealth in the wrong way. So we must learn now. You know, there's no more time to play around. Stop listening to things that are, what is it called? Snake oil. We need to start listening to meat, you know, and this network is meat. Dave is on here and he's telling you about the history. And I mean, he's gotten into what you should do. The most important thing that I heard is you need to learn to be a saver before you can even amass any wealth. If you don't know how to save, that means as soon as you get a dollar, whether it be to Bills or to Air Jordan or Weave Lady, you know, you need to learn to save. You cannot be just throwing your money out the window. Even if you start at a dollar, you know, and then like Dave was saying, when you start being very good at saving, then it'll be just like addicting. You save $1, then you'll start to be able to save two. You know, Robert believes in saving all the change in the world. I mean, you should see this change thing that he has. But if you learn to be a saver, and I'm not laughing at it for real. I mean, that's a good thing. Dave can tell us about change. He tells us in the class that saving change is very important. But yes, you must learn to save first so that you can build wealth. We are definitely running out of time. But Dave, what I would love to do is I would love to let the listeners know where they can hear more about what you're talking about tonight and how to join you on your show. And also what I'm going to do is if they would like to register with you, then they can definitely contact me through weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. And then we can get them registered so that they can take your precious metals classes. How many classes are there? Is it like four or six or how many is it?
Yeah, four. It's four. We broke it down to four, but there's an extensive class. But yes, if you would, Cece, if they would like to learn more about that, definitely they could. You all can contact me through Black in Business, and then Cece will get that in. And I think it's that would be the most effective and efficient way for that if you were interested in the precious metals class.
But I would like for them to know when your show is on so they can hear about these changing and perilous times, because you're on every day, Monday through Friday, on Black Talk Radio Network, which is this network. If you're listening, that's this network. When is your show? And it's called Tando Radio. When is your show?
The show is from 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, right before Black in Business. You know, it's at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, right here on Black Talk Radio Network.
Perfect. Okay. So, Dave, summarize everything for us, because as we're running out of time, I want people to know, hey, we need to get more of this, you know, because, of course, you know, this is podcasted and we're sharing it around. So as they listen to you and their eyes are open, the scales are falling off, you know, what is it that you would most like to put forth for them to know tonight?
Definitely is that we have to understand there's a difference between what man has created to enslave you and what the great creator has given to you as an asset to sustain you. Big difference. Paper is created by man. Silver and gold was created under the same love and the same power and the same sustainability as you. So save in what is in your best interest, and that being the precious metals. I always like to say that the precious metals is the great creator's money, because it has intrinsical value that is beyond monetary. It can actually save your life. Okay, so that we definitely need to know the difference between currency and money and how it plays out, and we have to become good stewards of our energy economically. So
absolutely. That would be it. Go ahead. That's it, Dave?
Yep, that would be it.
Okay.
Thank you, Cece.
Wait, don't leave yet. Hold on really quick, because I forgot forgot to have you talk about change. You know, as we're talking about saving and people are like, oh my goodness, I don't have any money to save. Talk about how important saving your change is.
Oh, well, change is not like cash. Cash is a debt instrument. Change is your change is actually a form of money because it's minted by the U.S. Treasury. Okay, now and just to show you an example, that if you go to all of the supermarkets, the major supermarkets, they always have this change machine. They're telling you, hey, give us your change and we'll give you cash. Once again, that's the system ripping you off because they're playing on your ignorance, of your economic ignorance. They want to give you paper and take back change, because change in itself is real, is a form of money. When the dollar loses its purchasing power, a quarter and a dime will still be a quarter and a dime, but that dollar is a note that goes to zero.
Big difference. Now that was very important information, because I'll tell you this, that one, there's several machines now that are patterned after the Coinstar. Now, I know before I knew this information, I used to go to the Coinstar. Guess what? They give you money for that, but they charge you, when I was last doing that, 8 cents on the dollar. So they're charging you to give you worthless paper.
Hey,
so think
a
about
quick
that.
Story, Sister CC, and this reminds me, this Carolina Panthers, this NFL player, had gotten bad service from this garage that he had restoring a car for him. So when it came time for him to pay the bill, he didn't really want to pay it, but he went on ahead and paid it. And so it was like thousands of dollars, I think something like $6,000 bill. Do you know he paid it all in change? And I guess he thinking, oh, I'm going to show them, but actually, dude, after I heard what Dave just said, you might have been better putting that change in your personal vault in your house or something. Wow.
That shows we don't know any better. Well, we do, but some people don't. But definitely that guy, that Carolina Panther, did not know any better. He thought he was being facetious and all this other stuff by paying in change. But Dave, thank you so much for joining us. We so look forward to networking with you, and also listening to your program, Tando Radio Show, that comes on every day. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you, Dave. Much love, much respect. All right, Rob. Thank you, brother. All right, Scotty. Talk to you, brother.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, CC.
Okay. Wow, guys. That was an excellent show, I tell you. So there's many, many different twists and turns to this wealth thing. You know, but my takeaway... Is that music? Are we leaving, Scotty?
Yes, that's your outro music, but you can finish saying what you were saying.
Okay, well, I just didn't want it to cut off. I'm like, wait, there's music. Okay, so there's many twists and turns to this wealth building, but we have to really take heed and understand that we have been misled for so many years. And I say the buck stops here. Generational wealth can be built through many different avenues, but you have to be a saver. So that was my takeaway, because I know so many people that don't save. So you have to be a saver. Let's start there. And what we'll do is we'll post that YouTube video that we were listening to. We'll post it in BIB Radio so you can hear the rest of it. Because again, eat the meat, spit out the bones, enjoy the wealth. Robert, any last words from you?
Yes. The Richest Man in Babylon. Read that. Got the audio. One thing that I learned from that book in reference to tonight is, he said, real simple, if you take 1 cent out of every dime and put that to the side, you will never feel the pain of saving. That helps you save. And you know, CC, I've been working with that for the last couple of weeks, you know, and you really can put money away real quick like that. The other thing, based off of this conversation, I am a businessman. Tomorrow, I will be looking into actually getting signs made on We Buy Gold and Silver, and they will be getting posted up as I do some research on how much cash, because the language, we have to understand the language. Now that after this show, cash is not money. So
right, cash is definitely not money. But what I would recommend that everyone sign up with us. Go to email me. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com so that you can sign up to take Dave's precious metal class. This is very needed and very necessary. But we are going to end the conversation and the show tonight. It's been a wonderful show. We'll talk to you all next week, same time. This is Blacks in Business Radio. Have a wonderful night, everyone.